Det har vært litt mer enn jeg hadde trodd, da. Litt en ordentlig pangstart, kan man si. Så det er veldig gøy, det. Og jeg setter jo stor pris på tilgjøret jeg har fått, og så... Ikke noe hvilepute med det, men jeg må bare fortsette å jobbe og... Ja, litt mye å gjøre enn å fortsette.
Du avsluttet fireårssesongen som back for gutter 19. Prøv å beskrive avstanden derfra til hit, da.
Nei, hva skal man si? Ja, det jo... Jeg må innrømme selv at jeg hadde ikke trodd... I den finalen så hadde ikke jeg trodd at jeg skulle bli flyttet opp med første. Og... Ja, det har gått litt fortere enn jeg hadde selv trodd. Og så har det alltid selvfølgelig vært et håp. Og... Nå er jeg her, da. Og da er jeg veldig... stolt over det, og så må jeg bare fortsette. Det, jo,
ja. Det var Jesper Reitan Sunde, og akkurat nå så kryr det av steingode 17-åringer i trønderfotballen. Hva er det som skjer, Petter?
Altså, mitt inntrykk er at det ikke bare i trønderfotballen, det kryr av steingode 16- og 17-åringer. Jeg så jo Barcelona PSG i går, og det er noen av de største profilene på banen, på den aller største scenen i den altså, i fotballverden, er jo 16-17 år.
Men like gammel som
midtstopperen til Barcelona er 17 år, og er helt overlegen.
Ja.
Så Jesper Reitan Sunde er kanskje ikke like god, men mer enn god nok for å spille på Rosenborg, og det er kult.
Ja, men vi har jo Nypan og sånt, og så det skal han ha, Alfred Johansson nå, selv om han gjør det i Barcelona, så er du god nok, er du gammel nok.
Jep.
Og så trodde vi jo på Håkon Vold nå, men kanskje han trenger en liten sånn bounce back før han liksom skyter fart igjen. Han fikk sikkert ganske mye å tenke på i vinter.
Ja, men det ikke sikkert at det der handler mest om Håkon Volden. Det kan jo være at det handler mest om Mikkel Seide akkurat nå, sant? For at det... Når en spiller, så er det en annen en som ikke får spill. Og nå spiller Namecheek, som har sett Bankerskjøtt siden han ble hentet på lån, sammen med Mikkel Seid, da er ikke plass til Volden. Og så tenker jeg at det er ingen katastrofe. Han er så ung at det er... Det er fint at de får sjansen, men så unge gutter trenger kanskje ikke å være bærebjelka så tidlig som Sverre Nypan ble allerede i fjor, men vi er jo enige om at Sverre Nypan er noe helt spesielt og helt for seg selv.
Han er i hvert fall bankers
nå. Bankers.
Robin, du har jo selv en 17-åring, Freya Dorsin.
17-year-old on your team.
Is she the Rosenborg kvinners Sverre Nypan?
I think that's a hard question to actually throw on me, because I think she's taken a completely different journey to Sverre. I think it's easy to make a comparison between the two because she's so young and she's come in and she's played and there is a bit of propaganda around her, for example. Sverre's got a full season.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too,
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Of senior football under his belt, and Freya hasn't really, so it's a bit of an unfair comparison on her. She has enormous potential, as do many others here, but to compare the two in that regard, I think is incorrect.
Men hun jo også agent, sant? Vi sports og hype sitt har sikkert hatt stor interesse på seg I utlandet.
Ja, ja, jeg skjønner hva Robin sier om sammenligninger, men samtidig ja, så de jo aldersmessig omtrent like gammel. Og så det jo ikke noen tvil om at Freya Dorsin den største, altså Freya Dorsin så stor profil allerede at landslagstrenerne synes det kult å ha med på landslaget. Sånn at hun utvilsomt den største drageren, hvis vi skal kalle det da, av folk til Koteng for å se Rosenborg kvinner spill.
Ja.
Hun utvilsomt den spilleren på laget som har størst, hva skal vi si, altså som jevn, profil. Som ungdommene I Trondheim bryr seg om da, for ja. Å si sånn, som har størst appell.
Profilpotensial.
Ja, så sånn sett så sammenligningen ok, men så skjønner jeg hva Robin sier om det sportslige.
Og så Robin, Rosenborg herrer, 2 wins out of 3, Rosenborg kvinner, 3 wins out of 3. Good start, bad question. Good start of the season.
Are you happy with the start of the season?
I think it's been a period of transition, very obviously, for the club as a whole. I think, firstly, the fact that the club have been bold and at the same time kind of patient with the introduction of this new strategy and, for example, hiring Alfred and give him... like myself the opportunity in this role I think it's reflective of what the club wants to do and be and I would like to think that yeah, say 5 wins out of 6 for the top 2 teams is a nice reflection of the kind of direction that we as a club want to go in we want to win every game that's expected of us but we've been really clear about talking about our identity and the strategy of the club and how both teams want to play. So it's really important that we are clear about making clear how disciplined we are in sticking to the approach that we believe in to try and win football matches and develop people. That's what we as a club believe in. So,
but you have spent the entire winter pre-season practicing on scoring goals. Have you scored enough goals in the 3 first games? You almost didn't score against Stabæk.
Yeah. I would like to say that our expected goals, like the actual stat of chance creation, has gone up. So the actual quality of chances that we've created has gone up. Compared to the game against Stabæk last year in October, where the expected goal was 1.31 and the score was 1-1, the stats were basically similar between the two teams. But in this game on the weekend, the XG was 2.36. So yeah. It had doubled. So in answer to your question, of course, we would have liked to have converted more of those quality chances. But the signs are exciting and reflected in the data that I have just shared with you.
But more interesting, how was it to come home on Saturday after a win and open an ice-cold pint of lager there and sitting with your feet high and enjoy the moment?
Actually, me and my partner went to Una for a pizza, and she had a glass of wine, and I had the green bottle of tap water because I don't drink.
Ah,
is the honest and disappointing answer. No, it was maybe the advantage that I have is I've learned throughout my career not to get too high and not to get too low. Like if you watch the game on the weekend. Even though it was a challenging context after the international break and 3 weeks without playing, we created more than enough chances. Stabæk are a good top Syrian opponent. Like, they're dangerous.
De har Jan Jønsson, som coach nå, som Han er så stor, han er
an old fox.
Yeah, but he is, and he set his team up well, and they're dangerous. They had good chances, so it was a good game to watch, I think, for the spectator. At the same time, of course, you will always go home disappointed when you feel like you've done enough to win the game. At the same time,
but you won the game.
Yeah, we won the game. I think as a result of the process that we've stuck to, and the courage of us as a team and staff to stick to it and just keep going. We've got experience of winning a previous game against Lyon in the same way, like two goals disallowed, which were perfectly good goals. We had a goal disallowed on the weekend, so the actual potential in this group is highly exciting because of that.
Men vi skal snakke mer om det her, men den første, for nå kommer vi dit. Den første, vi sitter altså på Lade en onsdag formiddag, og det ikke med en assistent, det ikke med noen vikar, men det med storsjefen da, Robin Schrutt, blitt 36 år, fra London, Central London, South London?
Yeah.
Ja.
Men, Central or South?
Yeah, four miles from Hyde Park. So, that's quite southwest central. London. Yeah.
In my ears, you speak a kind of posh English.
Posh?
Is it that?
If you want me to be honest, I've made an extra effort to work on being understood clearly, because if I was to speak in my native dialect with other South Londoners, it probably could be quite challenging.
Okay. Ah!
Så han gjør seg til.
Ja, han gjør seg til.
Han fine seg til. Snobbe seg til, rett og slett.
But you lived in Norway so long now. This is your 10th year in Norway. And you don't understand Norwegian, but you don't want to speak it yourself. Why not?
I think the challenge that I've always had is that I don't feel like I can be myself when I speak Norwegian. I'm happy to speak it like to people in shops or to prove to my lovely lady that I am semi-decent at speaking the language, but I don't know, it's always been quite hard for me. Also, if people hadn't have spoken English to me when I had arrived, it would have been a lot easier.
Okay, so it's
Norwegian's fault.
It's because we are so excellent in English. That's why he doesn't speak Norwegian.
That's why, yes.
Men nå tar jeg det på norsk, skal jeg se om Robin forstår det, men han har jo en meget fascinerende bakgrunn da, han var jo knøttespiller I Wimbledon. You remember Drillo? Drillo?
Yeah, he was made manager when I was 10 or 11 years old in our final year in the Premier League, I guess he was a bit of an outlandish appointment, even though he was a profile because of what he'd achieved with Norway. But he just kind of, he fitted the mold for Wimbledon as like this guy who was going to play long balls and ultimately it backfired, I guess, because Wimbledon got relegated from the Premier League under his
belt.
Robin sa jo før vi gikk på at han husker Drillo, altså rent faktisk fra den gangen. En raring som gikk rundt med støvla og lang boblejakke. På tvers av hele Wimbledon. He didn't drive to the training ground. He walked.
Yeah, he walked in his long coach jacket and his Wellington boots and his glasses. Like you could see, obviously he was kind of against the traditional norm of fancy things, and walked around Wimbledon Village like in public and which was good and nice. Very Norwegian approach, like no celebrity and star status.
Så har vi til og med vært på samme matchen, jeg og Robin, for 24 år siden. Jeg var på Wimbledon Everton 0-3. Kevin Campbell for Everton dunka to goller. You were there as well.
Yeah, I think I was, I remember I was maybe even a ball boy actually by the side of the pitch.
I didn't see you. My focus was on Drillo and Kevin Campbell.
I understand that. It's okay. Next time I'll wear a badge.
Det litt kult at dere møttes for første gang for 24 år siden.
Absolutt. Vi møttes vel ikke da. Men,
dere har lang historie.
Ja da. We go way back. Vi skal snakke mye om karrieren hans videre til Birmingham, sant? En del utlån hit og dit. Og så kom du jo da til Norge og Hødd I 2015 innom Viking. Trener for Hødd kvinner og nå Rosenborg... fra 2021. Og så har du bodd der da I 10 år og så snakker ikke norsk.
Jo, snakker norsk, men jo, snakker ikke norsk. Godt nok til at den vil bruke det.
Can you give me an example of your Norwegian?
A tenk så mye at det kan bli vanskelig til snakke med andre folk, fordi jeg, når jeg snakker norsk, jeg snakker som jeg skal snakke engelsk, og for jeg har ikke hatt norsk skole eller læring, det er vanskelig for meg til å skjønne hvordan jeg skal arrange sentences and words, for example.
Men ikke så verst. Altså sånn ei, og det tror jeg er fra Hødd.
Han har jo vært mest på Vestlandet.
Ja.
Så ei.
Ja, beklager jeg.
Ja, ja.
Nei, for forskjellig.
Men du trenger ikke å beklage. Ja. Altså, dialekten er fin, men før vi går videre da, så bare si det, Petter. Altså, dem som da... Han er jo mest kjent for massene I Norge, Robin Schut, for den treneren som står og roper hele tiden under kamper, sant?
Love it you!
Eirik!
Love it you!
Hordaland!
Head down! Head down!
Han møtte sin overmann.
I love it you! Head down! I love it you!
If I'd been a player at Rosenborg, I'd put something in my ears.
I love it you!
Why are you shouting so much during the games?
No, the most important for me, like, is... And we'll come on to this later, but... When I played, like, I'd miss a chance and the coach would come to the side of the field and start screaming. Like, and you remember when you played and you'd hear a coach, like, give you love or confidence or belief, like, it would just transform how you felt on the field. And for me, it's just kind of the same. Like, I just want them to know how much belief we have in them and to make them feel good in what they love to do the most.
Perhaps, I don't know how your coaches shouted to you, but you're always positive. It's, what you said, Petter, 95% positive?
No, 99.5% positive.
Shouting.
Yeah, it is actually, because it's a different story to training during the week, where we can maybe be more demanding, make them feel more uncomfortable, like be a little bit more critical with our expectation and our feedback, but come a game, like the game is a completely different context. Like they don't need, they need confidence and belief. Players need confidence and belief and reinforcement. Like if they're going to pull something out of the hat in the 89th minute, they need to feel good to do it.
But do you really think that your players need to hear get it back like 10,000 times during 90 minutes? Won't they do it else?
That's a good question. And the honest way I can answer is that's probably the most annoying part of it for them to hear. However, if it triggers them to take a step forward to go and do the other side of the game, then I would like not...
For de av våre lyttere som litt svakere engelsk, da get it, altså han da roper det på at han skal gjenerobre ballen når han har tapt den da.
Get it back! Get it back!
Gjenvinning.
True winning! Men,
true winning, no.
Det går ikke, jeg skjønner det. Men det litt Hornland over det, sant? For de som husker han på Lerkendal, han står og spytter fortsatt og roper han på Brannstadion, og nå det jo suksess som bare det, men Hornland har kanskje møtt sin overmann her.
Den spyttegreia, hva det? Så Guardiola og driver og spytter, han så tørr I kjeften til slutt at han spytter...
Og drikker mer, Erik, enn den andre. Den blir da deg. For en ting Robin sin roping, som jeg synes litt gøy å følge med på under kamp, men Martin, fysisk trener Martin Ravenhorst.
Martin.
Det var også litt artig, synes du da I helga.
Ja, jeg synes det var litt artig, og så synes jeg det litt flaut på vegne av Rosenborg.
Hva gjorde du egentlig for noe?
Nei, altså det en ball som, altså det på overtid vel, Rosenborg leder 1-0 mot Stabæk. Vil selvfølgelig vinne kampen Så det en ball som spilles ut over sidelinja Helt ned ved cornerflagget Ut mot den nye Trygg Ladehallen som ligger her Og så bruker jeg Martin 1.3 seconds Of not returning the ball Og da dommeren bare tjo, Opp med rødkortet med en gang
Og så skjer det opp Må jeg melde noe ting?
Nei, det så ikke sånn ut Men jeg lurer på om det var en situasjon tidligere I kampen nå Hvor Martin var litt sen med ballen Så dommeren sannsynligvis var litt irritert på han Og så fikk jeg sjansen til å ta han And Robin told me 2 days ago I'm busy, I'm in a meeting It's about physical training Trainers getting a red card Has it been a subject of A lot of meetings this week?
No, but unfortunately not It hasn't But we did have a meeting with the referees Who come in and talk to us every year About rule changes And they say that if a coach picks up a ball And obstructs play it's an automatic red card.
So it was, she was correct doing that?
By the letter of the law, yeah. I didn't see how long, and it, you could
it
say
it's... It was not, it's, a, that, not yeah, for a long time.
But is he even allowed to... Fra, han stod bak på cornerflagget. Han er jo trener.
Ja, men de holdt på å varme opp noen spillere, så han drev å hjelpe dem med det. Så det var derfor han stod der. Men,
but have you reprimanded him? Have you given him, have you shouted at him after the game? So that's not acceptable? Giving me a warning, giving me a fine or something?
In the context of us and our team values, we've also said that we have to be prepared to be cynical to win games. Yeah. And he did an absolutely top-class job living out those values.
Ja. Og jeg egentlig litt enig, men.
Altså, ja, så den kyniske, det å være kynisk biten av det, der vi.
Klart det.
Altså, sammenlignet med det Fredrikstad holdt på med, for eksempel, ja, ja, ja. I Eliteserien, så det her... Det ikke peanuts engang.
Nei, han holdt ikke ballen så lenge. Nei. Men den tredje, men må han sove neste kamp da, eller?
Hvem da, Martin? He I cannot be on the bench. Probably suspended.
I have no idea what
the... Who is gonna... Hvem skal varme opp spilleren da?
No, actually, I think
who's gonna do the warm-up then?
I think it's... he'll shout it from the tribune. I think because we're playing away, and because of the... resources that we have, so we can't travel with everyone.
He can't even han ikke med uansett.
Yeah, so he's gonna stay at home this weekend. So that's okay. The ban is done.
Jeg vil ikke merke det uansett.
Den tredje da, det blir meg kjapt det også da. Jeg har kun en ting på hjertet sånn ordentlig i dag. Vi offisielt I gang med ukaslaget.
Ja.
Nå bredden ordentlig på gang. Det nydelig. Jeg kan røpe at det med en representant fra din gjeng I dag, Petter, ute I havgapet.
Og det litt artig. Jeg kan ta en bitteliten anekdote på det, for I påska så var jeg på Oppdal, og så var jeg på en afterski med masse relativt unge folk. Og så plutselig en som sier, «Øy, skal vi lage podcast, eller? Rasmus og Saga!» Og så ble det litt sånn prat. De her hadde vært I Ådalen hele torsdagen, så de var litt på den, kan du si. Og så sier han, «Jeg har vært på ukas lag to ganger!» Ja, kult. Selv sagt så har jeg så lite innsikt I tredje divisjon og nedover at jeg hadde ikke peiling på hvem han var.
Men, but we see as in this team of the week from the divisions below top league, and then we see that in the G16 series, the boys 16 years old, Rosenborg kvinner this year, they have a team in the league system. Second division, G16. We know that you tried it in trials and in Tønders mesterskap before, but now you're in the league system on the boys 16. Why is that? With your under 20s?
Yeah, because we have done quite a bit of research over the years in how we can kind of accelerate their development. And compared to our European counterparts, they're competing against boys at a much younger age. And it's really important for us because the level of the second division, in all due respect, isn't anywhere close to the top of top Syrian. So the only other way to give the girls an opportunity to develop in similar as possible conditions to the top of top Syrian is to play against more physical, quicker, like better footballers. And we've looked at that G16 environment as something that gives us a range of things to improve them.
Well, they also... det damelaget spiller da på nivå 3 vel på guttesiden For det jo 0 til 1. Andre divisjon Den spiller da I en av andre divisjonsavdelingene Og så snakket jo vi litt med Mats Pettersen, sportsleder her før vi begynte Og da sa han at vi driver å kjenne litt på hvor vi egentlig passer Sånn nivåmessig Og det kanskje skulle ha vært 1. Divisjon gutter 16 I stedet Men så ja, så de driver å justere seg inn Men det spennende Og jeg skjønner jo veldig godt hva Robin sier her For at det spranget fra andre divisjon damer til toppserien Det langt
Ja, så får vi se De spilte jo gjort noe mot et tronlag vel I 3-3 her
Tron 2
Forrige gang Og så skal de ta vurdering til sommeren vel Om de skal opp en divisjon eller ikke Men da de I gang med det her gutter 16-prosjektet Men først da, forrige fredag ble også Robin Schrutt presentert som Rosenborgs nye trener Da hadde du først takket nei sant, I januar, men nå var han klar. Og så så vi et intervju på RBK.no, og der påpekte du tre ting for hvorfor du sa nei I januar, men for at du sa ja nå. Og da tar vi oss tida. Da går vi gjennom de tre punktene, for der det en del interessant, Petter.
Nowhere near Stena Lens capacity.
First of all. You were uncertain.
Quality, not capacity, quality.
Ready to jump after Stein Alain.
jump after.
Ja, ja, det så Virkola, nå hoppet til Virkola.
ja, sånn det.
Why did you doubt yourself in January of the being good enough to train them after Steinar?
I think my my natural personality, like, and because of, as I elaborated on in the podcast about in the interview about my reasons for not doing it, because firstly I didn't think that I was anywhere near as good as Steinar was, having watched him over the last 3 years, and two, because of the family situation that I encountered, and three, I think is probably the biggest and most leading reason, is that because of my experiences in my life and in football across my life, I didn't actually consider that I wanted to do this position, and that's the truth of it.
But you've been here for 3 years and you assisted Steinar as well. Why didn't you feel ready to step up in the football way, first of all?
Yeah, it can be that I underestimate myself. Can also be that because of my personality, I just didn't think that it was something that I actually wanted to do. And yeah, they would be the two.
Jeg tipper jo, this is untranslatable. Jeg tipper jo at det var en slags følelse av at den ikke ville være gjedda I sivet, ikke sant? Når man jobbet så tett over så lang tid. I don't know how to translate this. Do you know what gjedda I sivet means?
No.
You didn't want to be someone just waiting for the opportunity, just waiting for the head coach to get sacked so you can jump into his chair.
Absolutely, you said it better than I probably can. Like, I know I've known Steinar for 10 years, and like the amount of things that he taught me, and he would be open and say to me, "You are good enough and ready to do it if you want." But I just didn't. I didn't even go into that frame of mind. And I always said to him, I didn't want to be someone that would ever take your job. As time has gone on, and like we were all as staff kind of thrust into this responsibility to have to lead a football program at a big club over the last 4 months, where everyone has had to stick together and stand up. Of course, it provides you with, how do we say it in English, a baptism of fire. You just have to face whatever comes and do what you kind of believe in. The staff that we have here is so fantastic and so like wonderfully diverse that in many ways it's just been such an epic like joint endeavor that it's made it easy to both grow as a person and to have the confidence to ultimately end up saying yes to the role.
Så Tia har jo jobbet ekstremt bra for Robin Schulte da, siden Steinar Lehn ga seg, fordi at egentlig siden da, så har jo alle her, alle spillerne, hele staben, administrasjonen, alle har jo gått rundt og ønsket seg at Robin skal ta over jobben som hovedtrener.
Ja.
Så so I reckon you have felt it quite well for the last months and weeks that everybody here at Koteng has wanted you to take the job. So it's given you the perfect utgangspunkt.
No, I haven't. Honestly, that's actually...
Really?
Yeah, I've had some deep conversations with Marley, and it was actually a deep conversation with Marley that actually opened my eyes.
Marley, nesten sa kapten. Yeah.
And it was only 3 or 4 weeks ago where we were in the office looking at some video, and she said, this is a new group. She was like, this is a new group. Like, most since pre-season only know... Like that it's been us and the way that we've worked. And it got me thinking, actually, maybe she's right. So I haven't walked around thinking that everyone has been thinking that it hasn't even been in my mind. It's just to come in and work as best as possible with the superb people here to try and make the days as good as they can be.
Men han har jo vært en reell kandidat hele tiden. Og når jeg nå på en måte har sett, nå har jeg jobbet nyhetsmessig med det hele tiden. Prøvd å finne, hvem kan bli Rosenborg kvinners nye trener? Snakke med masse folk og sånn. Og Robin har da hele veien sagt at jeg vet ingenting. Og det jo ikke så rart. Når han da rent faktisk har vært en kandidat hele veien, så kan jo ikke han innlemmes I den trenerjakta som mannen på stolen ved siden av han har ledet hele veien, Mats Pettersen. For at Rosenborg har snakket med flere kandidater. vi har navnet på flere av dem har snakket med som vi ikke har publisert, som heller ikke trenger å si noe, for det blir bare støy. Men jeg vet jo det, at Rosenborg har snakket med flere.
Støy er ikke litt støy, litt fint.
Nei, det, sånn at...
But you got the question back in January. That's correct.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, like about the interim position. I'm unsure. Yeah, what the club were thinking over the long term, or I just think it's one of those things. Football is fickle because it's so bound by tradition, and fair play to Tora and the board, especially Tora, who's come in and like just breathed a massive breath of common sense and like business strategy and rationale, like over last year taking the time to like a long-term search for the next head coach of both men, and then he wanted to do the same here, like that they didn't just rush in, and like I think it's extremely
but have they interviewed you like deep, or was it just that they asked for the second time?
I think before we played Starbeck away in pre-season, like Mads had kind of been insinuating over time, like maybe it would be best if now I initially said I think he should take it early in pre-season, but because he's doing such a fantastic job as his in sports directorship, like he's doing such a good job that the club and the board want him to continue in that. Yeah, and I think the only real way for us to ensure continuity in what we have been working on and what we want to do was if one of us took over, because we've been here for so long. And so in the end I said to him, like, okay, maybe I just have to suck up my own fears and insecurities. If we're going to keep it as we have done, then I understand that I probably will have to say, okay, here's my...
Så sa jo Mats Pettersen for flere uker siden om Robin at jeg ser på Robin som like mye en hovedtrener for Rosenborg som noen andre, sa han, ikke sant? Så det, egentlig så burde jeg jo skjønt det der og da. Ja, da. Så det litt sånn tanker nå at jeg ikke bare skrev det da.
Ja, ja, vi har jobbet litt med
Men det mest interessante som Robin ja. Sier i intervjuet som du nå driver og refererer til, som også har gjort på RBK.no, det at you're kind of describing a situation where you got mental health issues through your days and your years as a hva heter det? Altså,
apprentice
academy player.
Academy player. Mm.
You said I'm going to be perfectly honest, but then you didn't say anything about what happened, what really happened, what went on.
Yeah, it was probably not the right context, like to open up about things like that in a first club interview. But I think it was important for me to communicate that, because I think that anyone who has experienced things like that, if they're open and comfortable to talk about it, is really important in this, both in life and in this industry, because I'm not alone or unique in experiencing those things. Long and the short of it is, I, from age 8 to 16, I was in the Wimbledon FC Academy, and academy football in England is brutal, like it's extremely, extremely high level football, and extremely demanding, and yeah, it's kind of ruthless. But I was push and pulled between school, between club, like, and I went to a really demanding school also, and like it was almost no one gave a fuck about me. I was like, I suffered burnout, I suffered like injuries, and just kept on getting pushed, and you have to be here, you have to be there, and like no communication about how I as a person was actually feeling or what I was encountering. Like I would have to end up paying for my own physio, like such was the lack of adequate medical care at the club. And I started to suffer with anxiety, severe OCD, like debilitating OCD, like unhealthy levels of obsessive compulsive disorder, not just like funny, oh, you have to touch the door handle before you go out, but like worrying, like this is not normal for a 15, 16 year old.
What did you do?
When I had it.
Yes.
As in things that I did.
Yes.
I mean, things like, it comes out in different forms. Like, I wouldn't be able to leave the house until I had like placed, I don't know, like a bottle or a CD cover in a certain place at a certain angle, and I would stand by wherever it was and like get on the floor and look to see if it was perfectly lined up, and if it wasn't, I couldn't leave. And it came out in different ways, also like in intrusive thoughts, like you start to have if I don't do this, then my mum or dad or sister will die, or like really you look and you'd be like, that's ridiculous. But when you're in it, it's so frighteningly real that it doesn't matter what anyone says or tells you, it's just got this hold over you. And only as I got older, when, and I still suffer with it to this day at times, you need help, and you need to learn how to cope with those things, because otherwise it takes over your life. And it's, yeah, I've stood and I've banged my head crying against a brick wall because it's just got such a hold over me and you can't get out of it. Such is the pain.
How early did this occur?
I think the earliest I probably started to suffer with it was when I was 15, 16, like in my last year of school, and I was injured, and the demand at school in England is extremely high. And to be part of a professional club also on the transition year, like they either decide if you're going to be a professional or not. So it's like two major things in my life at that time. And I look back and like my mum and dad were epic, like the most supportive family ever. Never any pressure, nothing but love. And they could probably see that it was getting harder and harder. But it's only also when you look back do you realize that was like, that's not how a 15 or 16 year old should be experiencing life. And I think they also realized it because they also, like back then, they were also unsure about what to do.
But was it the total, or was it some coaches who were demanding too much on the pitch of you as a footballer, or was it the teachers who were demanding too much of you in the school, or is it examples?
Many
incidents.
Yeah, many things. I think it was. I was at school, for example. Like I had a sports scholarship to this very prestigious school in London, and like they expected me to do everything, like play every sport, compete, be like a face of sport in the school, and my body just broke down, and they were vicious, man. Like I suffered like emotional abuse at the hands of some of these PE teachers at the age of 15, 16, like bullying from adult men in positions of responsibility to actually nurture. And it was like I still
in the field back then,
in day-to-day life, like you'd turn up and you'd be like, I can't play hockey today because my knee is, and it would be like you'd get slaughtered, you'd get destroyed, like for like, and being made to feel just like an awful human being because you don't take part in the hockey lesson at school. Like, it's, imagine standing over a 15 or 16 year old child and saying, you're ridiculous, how can you come and tell me that you're injured? You should be out there training, you have a sports scholarship to this school, other people would kill for this, you're weak, you should be out. Like, As a kid, you're not equipped to handle those things.
And then you go after school, you went to training.
Yeah, and then you go to football, and it's.
Then you get the same kind of feedback there.
I think it was difficult because throughout the time I was at Wimbledon, I was fortunate. I had some brilliant coaches, brilliant nurturing people as well. But you have to remember, like in that era, say 20 years ago, 22 years ago. Like English football was always known as like hard and tough and what the coach says and do this, and like this culture of kind of fear and stuff. Like, I can't say that I experienced it throughout my youth, but it was also, you knew how it was. And yeah, I think it's also that thing where every kid and person is different. Like, you receive feedback in different ways. You can't just blast people, and you have to know how to handle people. And yeah, I think it's more throughout my professional career did I experience the mental health issues as a result of senior coaches and people who were responsible for helping me. Yeah.
But did you tell anyone about this? Did your mum and dad know that you were suffering from anxiety and the OCD? And
I think they were well aware, because they can see like the mood changes and they can see how it impacts you. I am a like happy-go-lucky, love life sort of person, so I think it's quite obvious if if I'm not, you can see that something's probably up, but they could see things that I was doing and understood. And but like back then, it's also difficult because it kind of wasn't the same level of understanding as there is now, and like openness to talk about it. Or but yeah, I think they could see that it was hard, but maybe only when we look back do we realize that it was maybe a lot more difficult.
I shall not dig too much in this, but you talk about this OCD thing, but you also talk about anxiety. What could that be?
Throughout my senior career, it's something that I started to suffer with more and more. Like I've been open to a lot of the players here. Like I used to at times be happy when I wasn't playing. Like it was almost a relief, like not being in the team. Or when you're on the bench, like you're looking at the clock and you're like, oh, that's good, I'm not going to come on today. I think like that's so wrong. Like I've worked for this my whole life and I'm being made to feel that way. Why? Because of coaches that I played for who made me feel that way. Like going into a coach's office and saying like, is this like, how can I improve as a player? And someone go, it doesn't matter what you do, you are never going to play for me because you just haven't got it. That's okay, I can take that. But as an adult, you are also kind of responsible for helping me in my development to play football. But then when you go out on the pitch and you're actually targeted, like they people will try and force you out of football clubs by being brutal and like bullying behavior. And as I said to you, I'd train, and it doesn't matter how bulletproof you say you are, if you have some people who are constantly tearing you down every day, it doesn't matter how strong you are, you're a human being, like things impact you. And like just that behavior, that lack of psychological safety that I experienced throughout my career, it's also a positive because it built a lot of resilience in me and I was able to go through adversity and handle it. But it's also left marked scars on me. Yeah. I won't name the club or the coach because I don't think that it's right, but probably the most lasting and worst is I think that I experienced some form of post-traumatic stress disorder as a result of the way that I was treated at one football club who tried to because I didn't know the Norwegian law, they tried to make up fake stories about me in the club and tried to kind of do this employment thing where they make you fear that you're going to be sacked, and they completely got the whole thing wrong. They handled it so incorrectly. Like Niso actually said they have to drop this now, otherwise they could be liable for constructive dismissal. And it's the sort of thing, I hadn't done anything wrong, I just had a differing opinion to the head coach. But when board members and people around go, no, we know you've done something, we know that you've done something, and I say, you have to tell me what I've done, otherwise I cannot defend myself. No, 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 we're not telling you, but we know what you've done. We know that you've done something.
But you said Niso, is this in Norway or is this in England?
Yeah, in Norway.
In Norway.
Niso, yeah, Niso.
We didn't say the club, but it's in this country.
Niso are the organization, okay. And Eirik Monsen is the lawyer, fantastic. And he was like, this is like ridiculous, because I had done nothing wrong. I was just sharing an opinion about something that the club didn't like. And it makes me sad because I would never say that anyone is evil or has a bad intention. Like every head coach and human being has their own story and way of doing things. I will always forgive people, but things like that, like that's, I think it's indefendable because the way I've suffered ever since, like it was, yeah.
But you were both mentally and physically worn out from a young age, and still you stayed in football. Why?
That's a good question also, really. I've asked myself many times, just because I had this belief that someday it would all be better and worth it. And I think, had I not gone through those experiences and lived and experienced what I did, that I wouldn't have had the privilege of being where I am now as the person that I am now. Another thing about the anxiety, like I suffered from situational and performance anxiety, which also transferred into my life. Like, I have suffered anxiety and bad anxiety in my daily life that I've got help for and had to seek help for as a result of coaches and people. That I am a professional player who's worked my whole life to get here, and why should I be made to feel anxious about the game that I love the most? And why should I be made to be fearful of playing and lack the psychological safety that we should have?
Because you said also that one of your, not fears, but one of your worries is about, what if I get to be a coach who is making young, for instance, one young player here anxious? Is that something you're worrying about now?
Absolutely.
As a head coach here?
Absolutely. Like, I'll be honest, like, the emotional cost is, I really struggle with it. And I've been open to the girls in that because I know what I experienced and how I was made to feel, and that prompted me to actually feel like I never wanted to be in a position where I would potentially have the chance to make others feel that way. Like, something as simple as having to pick a squad for the weekend but leave players at home. I'm waking up at 2-3 o'clock in the morning worrying about that player. That, like, it's...
But still, like Petter say, you wanted so desperately to be a professional player. You put all your eggs in the basket to become professional. And you have quite an interesting career. And it's difficult to... Det vanskelig å gå videre nå.
Ja, altså, det jo ganske sånn heftige ting han forteller, men... Men det gir jo en slags forklaring på hvorfor han fremstår som verdens mest positive menneske ja. Når han står på sidelinjen her. På en hver trening, på en hver kamp. Vi startet jo med å si det, ikke sant, at han 99,5% positiv. He doesn't want history to repeat itself, probably.
Yeah, I don't. When I got to 16 and I started coaching, it was at the time where I'd fallen out of love with playing football myself. And I had the opportunity to start working with young kids in South London. And South London is, there are parts where there are not a lot of money. And I worked in youth clubs where, like, kids, it's all they lived for. Back then, it's like, a lot of the kids I coached lived in council tower blocks and single parent families with lots of brothers and sisters. Like, that 1.5 hours of their day was what they lived for. And I just wanted them to love, like, know that they were loved. Such was the absence of that I had felt. And I learned this word praise. I think I learned this word praise aged 15 when I was studying a bit about how to coach, and really got me thinking, like, how can you just make people feel good?
Jeg tror det ganske bra visdomsord det. Praise ja. I fotball.
Praise, ja.
Det mye press på unge spillere, mye press på masse greier, men... Vi tar litt om vi prøver å gå litt overfladisk da, gå litt gjennom fotballen likevel, for at like I said, some tough, real tough experiences in football, but also you have quite an interesting career. After 16, when you were finished in Wimbledon, you have to bounce down to the non-league football for some years, and then you were quite good. You were a striker. I talked to Mickey Carlson. He told me that he wasn't so fast, but he was very smart, and he always put the ball in the corner if he got the opening. So he's the smart striker, also en smart spiss da, som sånn slepen som vi sier på norsk. And then you played well on the seventh league level in England. Just take me through there. You played some years there. You didn't get the contract in Wimbledon after 16. Then you have to start over.
Yeah, like, and I was released so late. Like, the club handled it so badly because they're meant to tell you quite early in the year that you're not going to get a contract. And they didn't. And they left it past the point of me going and training with other professional clubs. But I took advice from a former coach, and he was like, why don't you drop down to non-league and re-find your love for football and then just see if you can crack it that route? And I just thought, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to drop my expectation, and all I want to do is enjoy football. And, like, that was it. Like, you'd find me on a Friday night playing five-a-side with my friends, and, like, I just tried to fall in love with playing football again. So to spend 4 years in non-league, I was also very, very fortunate to have another kind of coach who would come to the sideline and scream, "Who do you think you are? You're not playing for Real Madrid." That's how it was in non-league football. But I was also fortunate to find the two people who probably made the biggest impact for me in terms of getting me back into the professional game.
Okay. But you're not the biggest footballer in the world. I mean, you're quite...
tallest.
Slim. 4 years in non-league. You had to be most på etterpå, altså ble du
crushed in the jaws.
Yeah, it was like that. You'd get hit and you'd get
I reckon there's a lot of big guys there.
There are.
And when they got a hold of you, had to be hurtful.
Yeah, it was. I got a lot of hits. But honestly, take the physicality out of it, the mentality and what I had to learn was the most important thing.
Because you bounce back and get to Birmingham City, League One back then. Alex McLeish, the former Scottish national manager, was your manager. You played with celebrities like Stephen Carr, you know, the right back of Tottenham. Better Stephen Carr.
Yeah.
How was that in League One then?
Championship.
Sorry. Okay. You had to rewind championship. Bad research, of course.
We were at the top of the championship when I joined, and I played 2 weeks after signing against Wolves in the FA Cup in front of 25,000. 2 weeks after playing in level 7, I wore exactly the same boots, exactly the same shin pads. Seriously, walked out and played well. And there was a lot of hype around me because I was like this kid who came from non-league and played against Wolves at the top of the championship and played well. And after that, nothing. I didn't play another game for the 2.5 years that I was there.
Is that possible?
Yeah, like that's how football is. And I think I started to suffer with intrusive thoughts, part of OCD then. And
oh, so you got it back?
Yeah, how on earth I managed to thrive in day-to-day environment in terms of getting better as a footballer and setting myself up for a career, I will never know, because my head was all over the place. It was so painful.
But didn't you go to Mr. McLeish and say, why don't I play?
Yeah, like, that's the hard thing. And it's like, that's the most disappointing part about my experience of being part of a Premier League club. Like, people who were tasked with helping me in my development was just completely absent. Yeah. Completely
and
absent.
He has quite a name as well. McLeish, he was the national manager of Scotland, so...
Like senior players like Stephen Carr, who was brutal, came to me once in the kit room. I could not believe what he said. He was like, "We should just give you a game." And I said, "What?" He went, "Yeah, like the way that you control a ball and the way that you train, you won't do it worse than any of the other ones who are playing." And I was shocked. I couldn't believe he said that. I knew I was a million miles away from playing because the manager had no intention of playing me. But that's just how life goes. Could I have done more? Like, I don't think so. I had two loan periods, but like I'd got calls and they would say, "Oh, you're going out on loan to Walsall and Burton Albion." I didn't want to go there. It wasn't beneficial for me. Like, and I really struggled. I got sent back from those loans because I didn't know how to handle things. I was missing like guiding figures who could sit with me in a room and talk to me about life and football and how to channel my feelings and stuff. And as a result, I suffered, but I had to learn and get through those periods and set myself up for a career in the game.
But I have to fast forward about your career now.
Yeah.
But Nashville, yeah. FC in Tennessee, United States. If I read it correctly, you're one of four players the club was starting up when you came there.
Yeah.
What is that?
Yeah, I knew the coach from England. I'd had him in England, and he called me and said, "Would you like to come and play in America?" It was after I'd finished at Hood, and I was just like, "Yeah, how can I turn this down?" Like, it was amazing.
It was blues?
Country music.
Okay. Country.
Yeah, it was. But I tell you the honest truth, that was the period in my career where I was like, "I've had enough of this," because I was so sad that the football didn't go better, but he unfortunately was one of those who I was at my lowest in terms of mental health. I didn't really want to play football. It was better to be on the bench. No, not on the bench, sorry, not on the bench. It was better to be in the non playing group. Because if you're in the non-playing group, he didn't care. So I could just do what I wanted and play like I was in the park with my mates. But as soon as I was anywhere near the squad or on the bench, he was one of the ones, because of the way that he made me feel, where I was like, I hope I don't play. Or I'd fake an injury not to go on an away trip. Like, how bad is that? It's so sad, but that's how I was made to feel.
Yeah, of course. Two words about Hødd as well, because you played alongside Mikke Karlsen, and I have talked to Mikke, and he's made some research, and he said that me and Robin, Mikke puts himself
into... Du kan ta på trøndersk hvis du vil, da.
Ta på trøndersk. Mikke putter jo seg selv igjen. Jeg og Robin, vet du.
Jeg og Robin, vet du.
Vi ble offer for at Hødd spilte med bare en spiss.
Ja.
So you switched to play, you and Mikke.
Who were the better of the two of you?
He was.
He was?
Yeah, he was.
But that's humble, isn't it?
I think.
Really?
Sorry? That's humble, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. He was. I loved to play with him because he brought the best out of me, and I think I brought the best out of him. Like when we played around each other, like we both were tried to be clever and think about how we could work to be effective in those positions. I loved my time at Hødd. What an amazing club, and one that like both gave me and Mikke the opportunity to play and to coach. And like Andre Nevstad is forever going to be a hero to me, and
sport director in Hødd.
Yeah, and Jesper and Sindre, like wonderful people, and like I still speak to many of the people up there today.
Fordi, må ta en ting til slutt da. Mikke sier jo da at, men da vi fikk spille sammen, vet du, så spilte vi mot Brann. Det var det året Brann var nede på Brann stadion. Og da senka vi Brann, jeg og Robin.
Yeah, we were 1-0 down. We were 1-0 down. And if we didn't win, we wouldn't have got in the playoffs. And I came on at 70 minutes. Oh, and I was so bad. First touch, I think it hit my shin and bounced off me. But true story, this is where I tell the girls a lot of this. Fredrik Alsnes received the ball in the middle of the park. And I knew that if he played me, I would have a chance to go 1v1 against Jonas Grunner. But before that, when he passed me the ball, I just went, fuck it, I'm going to do something wild here. He's passed me the ball and I've run straight at Jonas Grunner for, I don't know, 20, 30 metres. He's backed off and I've done 3 step-overs, sent Jonas Grunner for burger and chips and put it in at the near post. And Mikkel was on 45. I think he wanted me to cut it back, and I've scored, and he's thrown his arms up in the air, and we've just walked back and had a laugh and a joke. And then he set Eirik Ulland Andersen up for the winning goal.
Oh.
And we won that game and got into the
playoffs. The rest is history, because the rest is that det var lov om ikke brente en straffa på siste finalen der, så.
But fair play to him.
Yeah.
He scored for Ranheim against Sogndal.
Yeah, the same moment. Mikke, han tåler å høre det. Men Petter, det her går veldig fort. Vi må snart runde av, sant?
Ja,
vi skulle egentlig snakke litt om spillestil og sånt, det får vi komme tilbake til senere. Men en ting til slutt, altså folk kan vite, altså vi har snakket mye om mental health her og litt tøffe ting. Men Robin, you are so good a player that you have under 21 national apps for Northern Ireland. So you weren't...
He bought himself a passport.
Now you have a grandmother with a Northern Irish passport, and then you could play for Northern Ireland. But I think that he was quite a good player then, and he has national apps for under 21s. Sure.
I'll be so honest, because I can be, and I'm really... Everyone knows me. I'm humble. I don't like glory. I was one of the biggest wastes of talent ever. And that is as a result mainly of my lack or misfortune of finding the right environments, the right clubs, the right people to get that out of me. Because to go from level 7 in England to a Premier League club and play and do well and reach a fairly high level of international football, but my talent was wasted. And that is maybe at the root of everything that I do and believe in, because I just want them to have better days than me.
But today, the anxiety is gone? Or?
No, I still suffer with it. Like, it comes and goes in periods, and there's never not a... I've learned better how to manage it, but I came on... I did a podcast with Christina Leiner and Christian Nosnakovi. I said, like... crazy sounding things, like I've driven out of the gates at Koteng, gone through a light, and it was on a snowy day. I hit the snow so hard, and for the next 4 hours I'd convinced myself that I'd hit someone and that the police were going to turn up at my house and arrest me. Oh, it's crazy. But that's how it is. That this intrusive thought, false memory, OCD that it's called, is only people who have experienced similar types will understand how bad that it is. but I have got way better at learning how to handle it. But it's still, I think it's one of those things like mental health. You probably always experience it in your life, but you just learn how better to handle it.
But you brought a drinking bottle here. Is it set in a particular way?
That one I'm completely over now. But in fairness...
So you didn't put it exactly there?
No,
because
no.
Because it had to be exactly there?
No, that one is like, I can move that around. Oh. And I'll be honest, like even football people are kind of notoriously superstitious. But I'll be honest, like for the first time in my life the other day, I wore a pair of Adidas Copa Mundials on the sideline because the club have been on at me and I completely respect that.
And we saw that.
But for me not to wear...
Puma.
Yeah, actually, like the whole thing cost me because I would go through the, oh, what if this
happened? I've asked you about this before and you didn't answer. Yeah, because I said, why are you wearing Pumas?
Yeah.
And you said, oh, I haven't got any Adidas.
I didn't. But you had? Didn't then. No, I didn't. Only got them recently because I didn't want the white ones.
Okay.
But yeah, seriously, something is... But I said to my girlfriend, I was like, I'm just going to... In OCD and anxiety, main coping strategy is risk-taking. If I don't place that bottle there, something bad might happen. But I'm willing to take the risk that it does because the chances of it happening are very slim. You have to learn how to get comfortable with that.
But it's so nice that you're so open about this, Robin. And I think it will make you stronger as a coach then, because you have these experiences, you know a little bit about these things as well. But what about your future as a coach? You're taking the license courses. You are you know, go all in to be an international coach, a big coach? Or is this, Rosenborg, is this your big end project?
Honestly, Ulla, like it's not... My main focus is... working together with the marvelous, marvelous staff here who have just created something so, so fantastic in alignment with just an epic group of players. And my main focus is just being excited about being part of developing that every day. I don't think, oh, in 5 years I'm going to manage Norway or England. I don't. I only want to see how good we can make every single one of these girls every day and to learn from the amazing group of staff who I have the fortune of working with, like who have brought out parts of me that I never realized I had, as have the players. So it's waking up excited to improve on the day before. Really, that's all I think about. And whatever happens, if I end up having a long career in the game as a head coach, okay, if it's as an assistant, if it's as a youth team coach, my intention will always be the same, just to help people love playing football.
And final question then. Who will your assistant be? Because that's some newsflash. And who can you pick your own assistant, or has the club already decided for you? Who's your assistant now?
We are in the process of kind of ascertaining how and what we need. Most importantly, what do the girls need? What do we feel that they need that can best support them? I think Mads, Vilde, Marcelo, Anders, Beata, Martin, Lina, who all contribute every single day out there, we have an extremely proficient and talented group of staff. So it's also not the easiest thing in the world for me to say, we need one more to come on the field. Such is the belief and confidence and quality that we have. So it could be that we look more at someone in terms of scouting or analysis or psychology role. Like, we're not just going to make a rash decision to go and appoint someone because they are...
It's de more... en minus, men de vet ikke helt hva den minusen er, til Louis. There is one last question. Vinner Rosenborg seriegull i år? Your Rosenborg.
Nå tar det på norsk. Vinner Rosenborg seriegull i år, Robin?
There's not a single part of me, honestly, there's not a single part of me that doesn't believe with the group that we have that it could be possible. Not a single part of me, because what the way the girls have come in every single day from day one and gone through a lot of challenge and difficulty, really, compared to the other clubs, like no head coach, few players, new players, and to see what they have thrown into every day is remarkable. And I think I don't. We're expected to win. That's how it should be.
Mm.
But in terms of following the process of developing them as players and people, then I think we're talking, because then there's no limit to how good we can actually be. And you know how football is. You need a lot of luck. You need things to go your way. But I think the more we continue to work in the approach that we have, hopefully the results will take care of themselves.
Det hørtes ut som et ja.
Ja.
Det var i hvert fall ikke et nei.
Nei. Et ja med litt på. Vi må snart videre, men ja. Vi tar kjapt ukas lag. Keeper ukas fra 15. divisjon, Henry William Nice Yesvold fra Malvik. Kult navn.
Ja.
Og han holder nullen da, og holder nullen i 5. og 6. divisjon. Det ganske bra gjort, for der det mye goller. Malvik, strålende svemtivisjonsåpning mot Leksdalen og holdt nullen, det fortjener hundør. Høyrebekk, jeg vet kanskje han midtstopper, men det din mann Håkon Fjellvær.
Ja.
Fra Vanvikan.
Det hyggelig for Håkon.
Slo Åfjorden masse mål, 4-1 var det. Og god seriestart, spilte borte da, men blir opprykket på Skalmyra.
Vanskelig å si, det beste som kan sies om Vanvikan nå tror jeg at det kontinuitet. Det de samme, det de samme guttene og den samme treneren som har vært en god stund, og det...
Ja.
Noen synes at det bra, de yngre guttene synes at det kanskje litt kjedelig For de har fått noen av dem som skulle ønske dem å få sjansen i hvert fall da, Som ikke har fått det Håkon jo definitivt en av de litt mer voksne i gruppa
Det korrekt, han vet ikke om hvem ja. Midtstoppepare da Haukeberg fra Blinkan Han golla da de slo en gang to nå Blinkan har startet bra, 4 poeng på 2 matcher Og Marius Sandvik Nardo Nardo har fått en strålende start i 3. divisjon Storskjær borte mot Morsjøen nå Og den siste bekken, det en vi aldri må glemme, Robert Williams for Egersund. Egersund har startet veldig bra i Obos. 3-3 mot Mitt Kongsvinger her nå. Det var irriterende, jeg satt og så på hele kampen. Men Williams dro på med assist på siste gollen. Og hvem skårer ene målet? Det var Andreas Helmersen. Og hvem spilte høyrekant? Det var Magnus Høysets. Det kryr jo av trøndere. Ikke minst Midtskogen fra Tynset til Midtforsvaret. Så Egersund har blitt et rent trøndelag. Midtbanetrioen. Anne-Sofie Johansen, Ranheim. How well do you follow the lower leagues in women's football in Trondheim?
I know a little bit. I know because we followed a couple of younger players at Ranheim. I know they beat Steinkjer 8-1, didn't they?
Yeah. Så du følger med litt rann da, for det korrekt. De slo Levanger 8-1, og hun skåret hat-trick Anne-Sofie Johansen. Opprinnelig fra Senja.
Senja.
Senja. Så det lages fotballspiller i Nord-Norge også. Bodrymt har vel også noen. Ole Selnes... Greit, nå synes jeg han var best Var det han som fikk dagens Ivers? Det tror jeg
Det håper jeg, ja. Det burde han i hvert fall fått Hvis han ikke fikk det
Ordentlig god i perioden, Rosenborg var god Og den golden
Uverdelig, tror Alfred Johansson kalt den
Nå den bra Så Sander Sjøgestad da, fra Levanger Per Werneballen ruller så det synger etter Petter Sander Sjøgestad da Trondhjemmer fra Kattheim, sant? Men en av få med trønderpass i det Levanger-laget Men du verden, som Roar Sjokke ville sagt Så bra de spiller for tida
Ja, Levanger knust Moss, som en slo Ranheim, så det jo litt spennende styrkeforhold mellom Levanger og Ranheim akkurat nå, selv om det mye der som ikke sammenlignbart, så altså gress og borte hjembane og sånn, men allikevel, det kanskje Levanger Trøndelags nest beste fotballag akkurat nå, med litt margin nå til og med.
Ja, og så har de en spiss som var på ukas lag sist, som dunker goller. Kanten kommer fra 6. divisjon, Ulrik... Sjøli Lange, 4 mål for Fosen over Namsos 2 Drømmestart i 6. divisjon til Fosen det Ja, men det jo klasse Og så det Markus Elmgren fra Sverresborg Som på kant, andre kanten Han ble byttet inn og ut mot Rosenborg Cupen Var sikkert skadet Startet mot Lonke, dunket 2 mål i 4-0
Jeg vet ikke hva spissen din er Trøndelags heteste spiss i midten her da, eller?
Frøya Brenskag Dorsin i midten
Ja Og Jadzic da på banken, har fått den vei med
Han var med forrige gang, kan ikke være med hver gang
Nei Frøya som skåret sitt første mål ja. Fortjener det
ja. Tap in It's a good striking goal from Frøya Tap in from 2 yards
Yeah, if you watch the game You'll see she actually got in position She was in position often to score She had shots blocked She had a goal disallowed So she did really well to just keep getting there And that's what, like we say to all the girls If you keep getting there One drops for you eventually in the 89th minute You've got to be there And she was
Og så det noe med det at Når du først skårer sitt første mål for Rosenborg Så det jo Litt artig å se at du skårer på akkurat samme måte som pappaen gjorde da, fra 1 meter og sånn.
Skitmål, det mål det jo. Som er fredag å si om ikke.
Han tror jeg skårer fra 1 meter i snitt, og det var bare sånn med kne og med lår og mage.
Og så kjørte Frøya Shalala etterpå.
Ja, og hun blir god, ferdig med det.
Yep.
Robin, thank you so much for meeting us and be so open. Petter Rasmus, thank you so much for meeting me and be so open. Ole, I talk you to next.
Snakkes, ja.
Thank you. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.